Stephon Gibbons.
And of course he's worth it. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. You have a young quarterback, your franchise quarterback, that you believe is one of the tops in the league, and he has no weapons. How could he not be worth the compensation that is being asked back from Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans? What's the problem?
Joe Torti.
I defended the Eagles and Howie Roseman because I thought, you know what? They just targeted a guy. They wanted David Johnson. They wanted to get him out. They have a good relationship with Arizona. Whatever. You're telling me if you give up a 2 and a 3, you win? That's it? You give up a 2nd and a 3rd, that's good enough? That is the worst. And that goes from Howie Roseman, in my book, going from having an A offseason to having an F offseason.
The Crossover. Right now on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Gave him an F. What's going on, y'all? Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast.
He's working his way back up.
Alongside my brother, you heard his voice.
Slowly.
Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Tyler Zuli is producing the show. What's going on, man? He's working his way up now?
Well, yeah, so that's what we said during the show.
Yes.
Was that he's down to an F because he blew the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Correct.
And everything that he does after that is working your way back up from the F. He's done some pretty decent stuff. So he's in like the C minus C range right now.
But that's a good jump compared. I mean,
compared to an F.
Yeah, based
absolutely.
On an F, that's a pretty good jump right there.
You're moving on. Exactly. You get to move to the next year of school. That's absolutely right.
You're definitely moving on. What's going on, everybody? So we're hanging out with you tonight on this Friday night. Typically a football Friday, but not much going on in the football world. So we're just going to have a good time tonight as we go from 6 to 10. As you know, some of the things have changed in terms of our hours, so we're going from 6 to 10 instead of 6 to 10 and then 10 to 8 to midnight. So we're hanging out with you for these 4 hours, and we've been doing it all week. We'll do the same next week where Joe and I will be with you from 6 to 10 on alternating days. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show with us together, and we'll just have some fun, right?
We're going to try, yeah. What are they going to do, split us up if we have too much fun? So, you know, we got to make sure that we throw it down out here, you know?
We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. And
we're never working with Zuli again.
The Sixers and the Suns playing 2K20 right now.
Yes.
Right now. And we'll have an in the post like we did on Wednesday after the game is final.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, we'll break it down and, you know, see who, you know, were the key pieces, the turning points of the game.
So I'm going to act like I'm there tonight, which I was supposed to be. We were ready. The kids were ready.
Uh-huh.
The family was ready. I was sitting in some nice seats tonight. He didn't even know we had the seats. We were going to surprise him while we were on the floor. While we were there in our seats. And, I guess we have a good sight line now with everything that's going on with COVID-19 knocking us back, and we are not allowed in the building.
Yeah, so now we're socially distant from the Wells Fargo Center.
And having to do a breakdown of the game from a video game.
Yeah. There you go.
We did it successfully for 5 minutes on Wednesday. We'll do the same tonight. So, Joe, listen, we had some cool stuff that we wanted to get into tonight. A little bit different, as we know, not a lot going on in the sports world. Football is still pushing along. Free agency, that really hit last week. The general manager, Howie Roseman, spoke yesterday to the assembled media via the phone and not in front of anybody because he cannot. And he said some things. I know you got into some of that last night. Baseball was supposed to get underway yesterday for the Phillies. That, of course, is on hold right now. So we decided to do something a little bit different tonight, sports-related.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia sports, national sports overall. Have a conversational time tonight with you, Tyler, and the listeners as well, people on Twitter, on the phones, where we do a little something. I was listening to a podcast a while back, and we came up with the idea of why not bring it to the air and do it with the sports. So I'm listening to Malcolm Gladwell and Brian Grazer doing a great podcast where I'm listening to those guys, and they were sitting down in front of a live audience recording the podcast. And what they did was, for the folks listening, they had a bowl of names that they had written down. They passed the bowl to each other, right? Decided, all right, we're going to ask questions. We're going to pull a name randomly out of the bowl and basically like a name association, and go at it, go for it, and conversational on why that person that you just pulled, why that whatever was significant to you, which is why you put it in the bowl. And we have assembled, each of us, over 10 names. You, myself, Tyler, 10 names each that we're going to alternate. I have Tyler's.
Yeah, I have Devon's. Tyler's got mine.
Right, exactly. So we're going to do that tonight where we pull the names out of the bowl here, if you will, and run at it. And we'll include you guys in it. If you are engaged in it and you want to talk about a particular name that was brought up, you call in. We'll discuss that name, the same deal. And you can even call in and say, hey, I want to pull a name out of Tyler's bowl here. And we go from there. And you can discuss what Tyler's name is, whatever random name it is. And we just have a great conversation piece about that particular name in the sports world. I know I have some interesting ones. I'm sure these two guys, Joe Torti and Tyler Zuli, has some very interesting ones where we will have a great conversation, a great show tonight until 10 o'clock, mixed in with some other things as well.
Yes.
Sixers, Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, whatever is on your mind. College basketball with the tournament supposed to be underway, which we are all missing right now because it was so wide open. The field was so wide open.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually watching the Big East final the other night against, who were they playing? Big East final 2018, where they went into overtime against, it was Providence.
Okay.
They played against Providence, yep. And that was a great game, I remember. And it was on 11 o'clock. I stayed up. I watched it. And I was like, oh, man, I remember this one. But, man, I wish we had some live sports right now to get into. So we have some stuff with some Eagles, some Phillies, some Flyers, and some Sixers, some national things as well. Well, we'll go back and forth with these names and include you, of course, where you might want to call in. You see how this works. And we'll just have a good time tonight here on this Friday night.
I wish you could see the way that these names have entered the building. Like Devon, in typical Devon fashion, first of all, I do believe that generally speaking, females have better handwriting than males do. I think Devon has like the neatest male handwriting I've ever seen in my entire life.
Here we go again.
It's in this little like perfect manila envelope. And it's like, it looks like it's little post-it notes that are folded up all tight and stuff like that. It looks super nice. Then you get a step down. Then there's Tyler Zuli in the Ziploc bag that's got, like, you know, it looks like it's notebook paper in there that has, like, the binder holes and stuff. I haven't seen Tyler's handwriting yet. We will judge that in a little while here. And then there's mine, which is literally, like, shredded up pieces of, like, a tiny little blue note paper, like something you'd put your grocery list on, and it's pretty much shredded up. All of the different pieces are different sizes, and they're just jammed into one of those sandwich bags that doesn't even have a Ziploc thing. So you go from like the pinnacle of professionalism to like,
so we're talking tiers.
This is a disaster.
We got tiers.
Okay. It's graded all the way down. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Stacy actually hit me up again. Stacy was the one. Josh Ray was producing the show when we started talking about the handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it came out, and that's when Stacy says she had better handwriting than I. So once the coronavirus thing was done, and we were doing our next live show from on location, we would have a write-off.
Like a calligraphy.
A write-off. Battle. Let's have at it.
Yeah.
And Tyler says he has really nice writing, though. Not print. Writing.
The cursive is really good?
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
that was jammed into my head from a very young age. That's what Catholic school does to you.
The ruler on the knuckles, if not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ty, you keep us up on the Sixers and Suns. Let me know what my guy is doing in the video game. Playing against Matisse Thybulle tonight. Mikal Bridges versus Matisse Thybulle. Sorry, Matisse. You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And that's that. Tyler Zuli.
Not hard to predict.
Not at all. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli with you until 10-610-632-0975. So I want to start with Joe tonight. And Tyler, you have Joe. And
yes.
Let's start things off with Joe Torti and a name randomly pulled out of the bowl.
All right. So first randomly drawn name, former Phillies third baseman, Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen. I love this one.
Okay, do either of you have Scott Rolen in your bag?
I do not.
I have no baseball players.
Okay. Right.
So, Scott Rolen was particularly noteworthy for me because, Devon, I'm a little younger than you.
Yes.
So whenever we were going, like school would bring us to Phillies games and stuff like that, and we'd go there for trips and things. And you remember, the Phillies were terrible. They were
awful.
Really, really bad in like the late 90s to early 2000s before things really started turning around, obviously with the World Series team and everything else. But in like the 90s, literally the only reason to pay attention to Phillies games at all was Scott Rolen. And everywhere you looked around the ballpark, it was Scott Rolen everything. And like even as like a fifth or a sixth grader, I started thinking like, gee, like if you went to work and you saw like pictures and it was only this one guy that you worked with all the time, what are you going to do? But I was thinking about it. I'm watching it and it's Scott Rolen bobblehead day and the Philly fanatics rolling around on the field for Scott Rolen. And that was the earliest experience I had with baseball. And he was the only Philly at all worth watching.
Yes.
So crystal clear in my memory that so sticks out that way.
He was arguably my favorite player at that time. So you figure this is like 2002. I think it was 2002 when he turned down that deal. And if you remember, it was a $140 million deal. They stunk that right. team, right? So they stunk that team.
They're like, we got to keep him.
And they're like, we're going to throw. This guy is like, no, I have morals here.
He's like, this team's so terrible.
This team stinks. And you want me to re-up? Now, we know many franchise players, and he was a franchise player.
Yes.
For the Phillies, decided, I'm not taking this money. I want to win.
Yes.
And you guys are not putting anything around me to win right now. So, no, I'm turning this deal down. And the thing that bothered me as a Phillies fan growing up was, listen, and I may be wrong, and when people call in to talk about this, because people get passionate about this.
Of course.
I did not like how people turned on him when you wanted the same thing as him.
Right.
A winning team.
Yes.
And then they talked about, yes, he did. Grumpy sometimes. He was moody at times. And I'm sure, listen, there are plenty professional athletes who get like that.
Absolutely.
They're not perfect. And we destroy them for him. But as the baseball player, he busted his hump. He played that corner like no other in Major League Baseball. Well, listen, there were plenty of good third basemen.
He was right up there with them.
He was
absolutely
an all-star level player. He was a great player at that time. And I was like, he's right. He's right in turning this down. And I pull up this article. I just did it as I'm talking. And Jason Stark, of course, of The Athletic, the Hall of Famer, great Jason Stark. We love him. He's on with Mike every week during the Phillies baseball season. And here it is. He says, it takes a different kind of guy. This is how he starts it off, ESPN.com. It takes a different kind of guy to turn his back on $140 million of negotiable American currency. He was right.
Yes.
He was right. And then the town turned on him. And yes, again, he was moody and all of that. I was with him. I rooted for him while he was with the Cardinals. The Phillies weren't good. He got to the World Series. Certain guys, when they leave here, I'm like, yeah, I wanted Charles Barkley to win.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I wanted Scott Rolen to win when they got there because most of the time I didn't like the American League team they were playing
to begin
against.
With,
so
yeah.
I wanted him to win at that time. I was with Scott Rolen. That's a great name.
Yeah, so Scott Rolen, the thing that rubbed people the wrong way, too, is when he got to St. Louis, which there's nothing wrong with saying this because it's objectively true. He gets to St. Louis and it's like, this is baseball heaven. It's like, no kidding. The Cardinals are like the best run organization in all, pretty much all of sports, but definitely all of baseball, right? Is there a better run organization than the Cardinals?
No.
I don't know if it exists. No. I mean, that's an amazing organization to get to. But I think that in hindsight, like Jason Wirth helps Scott Rolen in his, as we got more okay with,
right.
You know what, sometimes the bag is important to people, and if we're going to be okay with Jason Wirth leaving to get the bag, we've got to be okay with Scott Rolen turning the bag down to go somewhere else.
So here it is. I don't play the game to take money. In an exclusive interview with Jason at that time, I play the game to win, and what they offer me or didn't offer me, depending on how you look at it, was money, and that's not enough. It's always been about principles for me. All I've told them, ownership, is that I want the same commitment from them that they expect from me and from my teammates. And those principles, let's just say they don't have a price tag on them.
Yes.
That's from Jason Stark in 2002 with Scott Rolen commenting on the fact that allegedly 140 turned down.
Now, you have to understand, though, 140 still sounds like a lot. Like, this is in the early 2000s when no one's getting 140. The Phillies are like, we have to keep
We got to keep this guy.
Whatever it takes, blank check. And he's like, no.
We got to keep this guy. And they dealt him to the Cardinals for, what was it, Placido Polanco, right?
I think so,
It was Placido Polanco.
Bud Smith.
Mike.
And Mike Timlin.
Yes, exactly. The minor
who's
leaguer,
who of excellence.
Doug Nickel. Tyler? I mean, this is 2002.
Scott Rolen?
You know, it's funny because that to me is so much worse and so much more egregious than Scott Rolen saying he doesn't want to play here anymore. The return that you got for Scott Rolen is pathetic. Polanco was a nice second baseman at the time.
Yes.
I thought had a better playing career. Almost felt like it was the second time around when he played third base. But he's a nice second baseman. The fact that you got a whole bunch of dreck for a perennial all-star hurts me way more than Scott Rolen saying, nah, I don't want to be here anymore.
Still, he only spent 5 seasons here. Still the second best third baseman the Phillies have ever had, yes? Like, there's no one else that, like, jumps out?
No, it was Mike Schmidt and then Scott Rolen.
That's it?
That's exactly what it
Tyler?
Was.
Tyler?
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
I'm trying to wrap my head. You're right.
Well, 5 years.
Who are you going to say? David Bell?
No one. I don't. And listen, you could probably go back to maybe there's somebody from, you know, the 40s.
Way early
yeah,
on.
But
yeah.
Nobody jumps out in my mind.
Yes. Live ball era.
So we'll ask. So as we throw these out, people, what are we all wrong? Because we're all in agreement here. Scott Rolen
was okay.
Was okay.
Yeah. He was all right to do what he did.
He was pretty good. And I was in with him there. 610-632-0975. Sixers lead the Suns 20-19 after quarter number one.
Update: Sixers 28, Suns 25.
Oh,
all right. 3 points in the second quarter.
Let's go.
You know, I'm not worried.
All right,
I'm not worried.
We ready for Devon's?
I'm next.
We ready for Devon's poll?
Let's go.
All right, here we go.
What do you got there?
Which of these perfectly manicured notes am I going to pull out here?
Notes.
All right, here we go.
That's just wrong, man.
Unfolding this lovely pink piece of paper. It's actually kind of like a magenta.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
I knew what I was doing.
All right, here we go.
I knew what I was doing.
No, we're starting off strong.
Okay.
John Chaney.
So, John Chaney, of course, legendary Temple basketball coach here, Hall of Famer. I wanted to play for him so bad if I was staying local.
Uh-huh.
So my dad always told me, if you are good enough, which I believe you are, ultimately it did not turn out to be that way, but wanted me to leave, and I was the same way. But if I stayed, I wanted to play for John Chaney. I thought, as much as I like offense, with the way he did things defensively
yes.
with that team, to not have these high-powered recruits from all over the country, McDonald's All-Americans coming into town, that... that's the type of thing I want to be involved in. And
yes.
if I'm going to be lucky enough to if I'm going to stay in the city and I'm not going to go anywhere, I want to play for the best. And as good as Villanova, St. Joe's, LaSalle, Drexel, right, were, John Chaney was it. Temple basketball was it, because I loved Aaron McKee. I loved what Eddie Jones was doing. I was a big Mark Macon fan. At that time, as I was learning about college basketball coming up in Philadelphia, and John Chaney was the man. I loved his attitude. I loved that he did not care. I loved that my dad paid attention to it and was like, yeah, you know, I like this dude. My dad's a tough dude from New York, right? And it was one of those things where John Chaney was my guy. And I love when John Chaney used to do those Christmas specials on then Comcast Sportsnet,
uh-huh.
where it was he, Mike Kern, Dick Girardi, and I think it was Neil Hartman who would host them. And those sit downs were fantastic. When Mike, once I got to know Mike later on, Mike Missinelli would have John Chaney on. It was always fantastic. John Chaney, the nicest man when you get to meet him. The conversations I would hear he and Mike have about going to the Reading Terminal or whatever it was. Mike used to say he would take him to the butcher shop to get the great food. But as a great overall man and as a great overall basketball coach, I wanted to play for him. I love John Chaney.
Well, so I think that this is, like, when people try to identify with people or players, like Brian Dawkins comes up all the time and Allen Iverson comes up all the time too. I think that's kind of tough because I don't think any of us can match or do, even from a personality standpoint, certainly not Brian Dawkins and probably not Allen Iverson. Like, that's like, I think those are two unique dudes. If you're talking about the perfect pairing mm-hmm. from a personality, toughness, just approach to life standpoint, it does not get any more perfectly married than Philadelphia and John Chaney. Like, you talk about exactly the way that you would hope a Philadelphia basketball coach would coach and a team would play. That is exactly what those John Chaney Temple teams were. And they were really good, too. It's not like you're just seeing, oh, yeah, they're tough and they work hard and they play defense and stuff. You're talking about really, really good, nationally good basketball.
Nationally good, and you always rooted for them no matter what, no matter. And I don't know about some of the older people who went to Villanova and St. Joe's. We know that's a different animal when you go to those different schools and you're playing against Temple and you can't stand John Chaney because he's coming at you and all of that. But that matchup zone that he played, keeping the scores in the 50s, but it was entertaining, right? The talent that he did have, molding those guys into the players that they were eventually at the end of their careers. He was a great, great coach. And if you know about his story from Chaney, I'm talking about Chaney University at that time, and with he was Sonny Hill and all of that with what they did. John Chaney was flat out the man. He was the man to me, and I absolutely love him. Then I also loved when they were playing UMass, the great UMass lose my mind on John Calipari press conference. I'll kill you. And Aaron McKee and Eddie Jones are trying to pull him back in the press conference. And John Calipari is yelling back at him. And he's talking about, I'll kill him. And they talking about he's got some bounties on players and all of that. That was John Chaney. I loved it. I love John Chaney. That is Philadelphia basketball. And you know me, I love Philadelphia basketball. That is my guy, John Chaney.
That's a strong pull to go first on this one.
Yeah, John Chaney. That's it for me.
Tyler, anything to add?
The only thing I can say about John Chaney is by the time I really got invested into college basketball, his teams weren't very good. So I don't have the lasting memories that you guys do.
Yeah.
So for me, like I know of the legend of John Chaney, but I've firsthand did not see the legend of John Chaney. I saw the tail end of John Chaney.
So you saw the Goon Squad game. Yeah, and you're like, this is John Chaney.
It was more like, so to me... Like, to me, the first coach I really got a chance to see at Temple was Fran Dunphy.
Okay.
You know, like, even a little bit of an analytical standpoint.
And to me, Fran Dunphy was Penn.
Probably comparatively way more successful than Penn. Temple.
I don't disagree, that's the one I got to see.
Absolutely. Right. So that's where we go with the different eras, and he's a Philadelphia basketball guy. For me, though, the success at Penn, that was great with Jerome Allen and Matt Maloney and those teams that he had. That was a fun deal as well. And by the way, on Twitter right away, we get with the third baseman. We have right there, what did they say? Dick Allen. UV Harvey says Dick Allen. Dick Allen played
15 years,
and he played the outfield as well. So, all right. But when we talk about primary third baseman, that's where we were going with Scott Rowland. So we're not ignoring, of course. So, and when Tyler put up right away, John Chaney, Tim Tobin on Twitter, @Tobe_Nader says, next time I see him, he kick your ass. Right? That's it. John Chaney. John Calipari. 610-632-0975. So that's how we're starting things off. So Scott Rowland and John Chaney first, if you guys want to talk about those two sports figures in Philadelphia. We can get right at it on the phone, 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's first name will be up next on the other side. I will present that. And again, you can call in and ask for a name from Joe Torti, from Tyler Zuli, from myself, and we will all pull those names for you and we will have those conversations. 610-632-0975, the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com. South Jersey's diamond destination. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 97.5, The Fanatic.
.5, The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you here until 10 o'clock on this Friday night. Tyler Zulli producing the show. We are playing, let's have it, Name Association in Philadelphia sports. Some national as we talk about some things in Philadelphia sports. Our first segment, we went with Scott Rowland and John Chaney. And we will get to Tyler's in just a second. Some good conversation off of it. So we're just simply asking you guys to call in. When you hear Scott Rowland, John Chaney, or name that interests you, to call in and say your piece about that athlete. And maybe you have something else off of one. And you can also ask to pull a name from the bowl, hat, whatever it is, for us three. Whatever. If you want Joe Torty, say, I want Joe Torty's. And we will pull a name out of Joe Torty's hat for you and give you a name. Simple. 610-632-0975.
Yeah. Now, bearing in mind, I did less homework than my other two friends. There are more names in their bags
as opposed
to my names.
That's okay.
So, you know, you don't want to blow through all the Torty names early. So there are some real winners in there.
I also have more national names. I went 50-50.
I went pretty much 50-50, too.
Oh, did you?
I went pretty much 50-50.
Okay, I did not. I went like the third day.
Heavy?
Yeah. I went more Philadelphia-related sports. And even one of my national is Philadelphia related. So
okay. All right, good.
But we'll see if we get there. Let's go to Ryan in the Northeast here on The Fanatic. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Devon. Hey, John. How you guys doing?
Good,
awesome,
man.
Ryan. Thank you.
These are some great topics tonight because, John Chaney's one of my favorite human beings ever. I really look up to him my whole life. But Scott Rowland, one thing that always comes to mind with me about Scott Rowland is I'm 45, so I saw Mike Schmidt and Scott a lot. And before Scott Rowland, I always had Mike Schmidt as the second, obviously the best third baseman ever, but I always had him second defensively to Brooks Robinson. But in my opinion, and sometimes people don't like when I say this, it has nothing to do with Scott leaving or anything. Scott Rowland's the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball. He bumped them two down a spot, hands down. He made plays that nobody made. I mean, he's the best defender I've ever seen. And another thing that always comes up when I say is, Freddie Galvis was a better defender than Rollins. And people don't like to hear that because they get caught up in the all-around player. Obviously, Mike Schmidt and Jimmy Rollins are better all-around players. Obviously. But defensively, if you just talk defensively, hands down, that's the two best defensive players in the history of the franchise. And in my opinion, Scott Rowland in the history of baseball.
Well, Scott Rowland first. I can't say that he's the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of baseball. But again, we put him second baseball overall, Philadelphia overall, here behind Mike Schmidt. And you can argue that he was a better defender than Mike Schmidt, but I think I still lean towards Mike Schmidt. And the other thing, though, when we talk about that, remember one of the issues that he also had was the fact that his knees became a little bit of a problem because of playing on that turf at the Vet. You remember we would talk about that, Ryan?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, he wanted everything to be perfect. My thing about the baseball heaven thing is, I think some people took that as rubbing it in our face a little bit. I mean, I know what the Phillies are. they went to the playoffs one time from when I was like 8 years old till I was like 35, you know what I mean? Or 34, whatever. So I've lived through it, you know, and they weren't committed to winning. I get that. They were so far behind the times that they're still suffering from it. You know, they were really running it like, they ran the Phillies like they were running a corner store. As the sports were advancing, they were so far behind the curve with the old boy network and just, you know, bad people in place. But to John Chaney, the 87-88 Temple team is really one of the teams that made me fall in love with basketball. I used to run home, watch them games with my dad. They used to actually televise the Big Five games during the week back then on 57. And I just love that team so much. And I was heartbroken when they lost to Duke. I was devastated. Probably one of the hardest losses I ever took in sports.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get to watch the game because I had a game that day. So I got my coach's car afterwards and found that on the radio. So that was like, oh, man.
And Ryan, and thanks for the call, man. We'll get to the Jimmy Rollins point as well. I remember with John Chaney, so one of my favorite teams was the one with Pepe Sanchez, Lamont Barnes, Lynn Greer, Mark Karcher, Kevin Lai.
Man, what a tough squad. What year was that?
And Mark Karcher and Kevin Lai were the two McDonald's All-Americans that he never got. And they got to the Elite Eight. He always got to the Elite
Eight.
Yeah,
that was what he did. Yeah.
It was always about getting over the hump and getting to the Final Four, which he never did. But when they lost in a tournament, and I want to say that's the one where they lost to Seton Hall and Ty Shine that year. Seton Hall and Ty Shine that year. And I remember I was coming from Virginia, and I had to listen. I was forced to listen to it in the car. I was mad as ever that I couldn't watch it. And then I was even more ticked off because they lost to Seton Hall when Temple was, I believe they were one of the one seeds in the NCAA tournament.
Well, so there was definitely one year they lost to Seton Hall as a two seed.
Two seed.
For sure.
Okay. What year was that?
This is 2000.
2000. That's it.
And this is 2000, yeah. Samuel Dalembert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. No. Was that it?
That had to be a different year.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. That might have been it. That might have been the Tyshawn. Yeah, that might have been it. Samuel Dalembert was on that team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might have been it. Because Tyshawn went off. He just flat out went off. We were like, what is going on here?
Let's see what that box
happening?
Score was.
What happened was, it was March Madness. And that's what happened. Oh, man.
Shine played 37 minutes. Went 9 of 15 at 26 points.
Exactly.
There were only three Seton Hall players who had double digits.
Exactly.
Dalembert did not have double digits.
No, but he was later drafted in the first round. But yeah. So, I remember that one, man. I remember when they beat, I think it was Michigan State during that season when Pepe Sanchez had to hit walk-off free throws. That was one of those ESPN late night games, like the 8 o'clock game. The game ended at 10 or something like that. And Pepe stepped to the free throw line, knocked those things down, and the crowd just, you know, boom, bum rushed the floor after beating Michigan State, who I believe was the number one team in the country at that time. So,
man, John Pepe Chaney Sanchez had a bad game that game against Seton Hall.
Seton Hall,
man,
you have the stats.
Yeah, I got what you need. Whatever you need,
run them.
Pepe was 1 of 6 from the field, 0 for 4 from deep.
Okay.
Had 2 points.
Yeah, that's not
that's
good.
Not, and he fouled out.
What was the final score?
67-65, Seton Hall.
And they had to come back.
That's brutal,
so
man.
So 67-65, what did Karcher
have? That was an overtime.
Karcher
went crazy. Yeah. He had 27 points and 4 steals and 3 assists and 6 rebounds. That dude went nuts.
He was a pro.
Yeah.
He was a pro, but he just...
But 3 of 8 from the line.
Yeah.
In that game.
How about Lyde, Barnes... And Greer.
Lyde had a rough game. Okay. Lyde went 0 for 2
from
the field.
Can't take 2 shots. You have to take more than that.
Yeah, he had 1 point. Yeah, okay. That's not good. Uh-huh. Who else did you need? Barnes. Barnes had 7.
And Lynn?
Lynn had played 20...
Off the bench.
5 minutes off the bench, had 13 points.
There you go.
Oh
my God.
Got what you needed.
I got what you need. Anybody want to jump in on that Jimmy Rollins thing right there with Freddie Galvis being the best defensive shortstop?
Go ahead, Tyler.
Tyler's like, no, I don't even want to say anything.
Am I allowed to be scrutinized at 6:38 on a Friday? Is that what we're doing here?
It's Friday,
we're
man.
Playing throw Tyler under the bus
yes.
day?
Yes, yeah.
Because Rollins had better range. Freddie had a better glove. That's is to split hairs and not be totally controversial. Freddie's glove was better than Rollins' glove. Rollins had better range up the middle into the hole.
Who had a better arm?
Oh, Rollins.
Easy.
Yeah, Rollins.
Easy.
For sure.
Easy.
Freddie had
agree.
A cannon.
Yes.
But Rollins has like a...
A missile.
Yeah.
Like a full-on missile. Yeah.
Yep. Sixers 51-44 leading the Suns with 3 and some change left in the third quarter right now.
I haven't checked in with the 2K games in a while for hoops.
Looks like it.
This looks good,
looks
man.
Looks live. When I turned it on, I'm like, wait a minute. They're replaying the game. I got to change the channel. Oh, no. It's 2K.
This looks really good. I haven't checked in since like 2K, like 15 or 16 when it didn't look nearly this good. It looks pretty good.
Adolf Sixer says on Twitter, when was he trying to fight another coach? When was that? That was John Calipari. UMass. That was the Lou Rowe, Tyrone Weeks, Dante Bright, Padilla, and Trevieso. I love that team too. Not over Temple, but I love watching that team. That's, I think that was that team, but I know Marcus Camby was on that team.
The UMass
Marcus
team?
Camby yeah. was the yeah. he was not yet the star. I think Lou Rowe, I want to say Lou Rowe was still there. He was the star. Marcus Camby was the best player eventually.
That was one of the most
said and done.
Marcus Camby, one of the most dominant college basketball players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, just absolutely insane.
That UMass team, fun. We'll get to Tyler's name on the other side. 610-632-0975. You see how the calls went? It's just that easy. You check in, and you can also ask for a name from one of our hats here as well. 610-632-0975. Joe Torty, Devon Givens, Tyler Zulli's producing right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.645, 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic. Tyler Zulli producing. 610-632-0975. The name association game with Philadelphia Sports. We mention it, we talk about it, and we all get into conversation about it as well. 610-632-0975. We'll still get into some current things with the 76. Who says the names that we have aren't current, that we need to talk about these people? And we have some national ones as well. Currently, the 76ers, Matisse Thybulle, beating the Philadelphia 76ers, leading, 57-52 over the Phoenix Suns and Mikal Bridges. Both of those guys on the sticks. And we will have in the post afterwards right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. So Tyler's name was next. We already exhausted everything with the Jimmy Rollins comment from our caller. And we go with Tyler next as we pull the names out. Doug Collins. Let's have at it. Let's have at it, Tyler Zulli.
So Doug Collins, I picked Doug Collins because I believe, Devon, you and I were on the air the other day when they were running the
2012
replay.
Game 7
yes.
Bulls first round.
And I couldn't help but notice that Doug Collins, to me, Doug Collins the coach, of course, not Doug Collins the player, but Doug Collins the coach, to me, had a team so incredibly prepared to play defense, and then they looked like a bunch of traffic cones when it came to the offensive side of the floor. It was all, I mean, they were routinely winning games, scoring 81 points or 79 points. And that game 7 was a terrible basketball game if you like offense.
It was awful.
But it made me put Doug Collins down because I longed for the days of Doug Collins' defense with this team. If that was an option, this team with Doug Collins' defense, it'd be unreal.
And this team's defense is still pretty good in today's NBA. I wonder if they could duplicate something like that in today's league. So the first thing that came to mind, though, I got to be honest with you, there's a lot of things, but the first thing that came to mind with Doug Collins was he was doing television again as a Sixers head coach for Team USA.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I think it was NBC. So he was back doing that. And my point of bringing that up is because, like I said, and I said this when the Andrew Bynum thing came down, I had got wind of it about 3 weeks before at Summer League that this would be a possibility, or at least they're having these conversations. It might be real. And I was still updated later on, like, yo, this thing might really happen. It was getting late. Didn't think it would happen. And then August came and the trade went down. I think it was August. The trade went down. But the thing that stood out was they were at the Olympics, and Andre Iguodala was told, because he was on that team, if you remember, he was on that Team USA squad, told, you are not going anywhere. And as the trade went down, he's doing the game. Then, from what I understand, he was avoiding Andre as much as he could while they were at the Olympics.
Just ducking him.
Just ducking him. Just ducking him. And that is what stands out with me for Doug Collins. The first thing, just because I don't know why that was my lasting memory of him, but that was my lasting memory of Doug Collins.
Man, oh man. Like, do you remember, we've all at some point in our lives been shoot the puck guy? Where, like, you know, you're screaming shit. My clearest memories of the Doug Collins era, you know, like, right before the process started, me sitting back in my chair on my couch, and like Tyler was saying, Sixers would have the ball, and I'd be like, move! Do something! I'm like, where are the... My dad's walking by. He's like, yeah, where are the cuts? Where are the screens? I'm like, they don't know what that is. None of that is happening. They turned me... Shoot the puck guy. I turned into move guy whenever I was watching Doug Collins, man. Like, number one overall pick, all that other kind of stuff. That's cool. But as a coach, I don't know, man.
I like the idea when they brought him back. He had some questionable things, just like many other coaches in today's league at that time. They had a good team. Team wasn't good enough. He was ahead of it. That's why they had to move on from the era of basketball that they were in and try to get Bynum and add Jason Richardson, move on from Andre Iguodala, and that really got the ball rolling in what we are today with the Philadelphia 76ers. Doug Collins at that time, the head coach. He is now working for the Chicago Bulls as... He's in the front office doing something.
So he came full circle because that's where he started. He had young Jordan.
And young Jordan said, get him out.
Yeah, 89. He was like, yo, let's move.
But then, you know, Jordan loved him because when Jordan took over the Washington Wizards and he came back to play for the Wizards, the name that he called, the guy that he called to be the head coach at that time was Doug Collins.
Well, I mean, and we saw this from Doug even when he was here.
Yes.
The longer that you were around him and the longer you were in the system, the better you felt about Doug Collins. Like, Doug Collins was not a young player's coach. Like, you could easily see, like, rookies coming in and being like, this dude? Like, for real?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's what I think, that's what I attributed it to Mike, is that, like, as a mature player and a guy who's been through other coaches and stuff like that, he's, I didn't have it that bad with Doug Collins. He's actually pretty good guy to have around.
Yeah, and I generally liked him as a coach, but with some of the front office moves, and at that time it was Tony DeLeo and Rod Thorne. I think Rod Thorne was in charge. Tony DeLeo was second. They had some other good people, Courtney Whitty, in the front office as well. But Doug Collins certainly, as a veteran like that, right, he's going to have a voice with how the team is put together. And the team was pretty good, but they just didn't have, which is why it went to what it went to when they made that move for Andrew Bynum. They just didn't have enough. I thought that if they had a healthy Elton Brand, that would have helped.
Yeah,
that would have helped.
Yeah.
Because that's your horse right there. That's the guy that you ride, and he will lead the way. Andre Iguodala. Look, he produced two All-Stars in Iguodala and Jrue Holiday. You remember at one point, I think it was when Iguodala made the All-Star team, they were the number one seed, I believe, in the East at the break. And there was an argument that Iguodala should make the All-Star team, Lou Williams should make the All-Star team off the bench, and Jrue Holiday should make the All-Star team as a young point guard because that's how good they were. They were really good.
Yeah.
They were really good. But in the playoffs, like, it just kind of slows down and gets bogged down.
They were a fun team to watch. Very, very fun.
Yes.
But I think that you're absolutely right in that they have kind of the same problem as the last couple years Sixers have had, where it's a fun team to watch and it's an entertaining style of basketball. In the postseason, though, you just don't really see teams like that succeed all that much.
No, not at all. But Doug Collins, that's a really good name that Tyler puts out there, and he'll put Doug Collins up there on Twitter and see what the folks have to say about Doug Collins. 610-632-0975. What do you guys think about Doug Collins? Because there were a lot of frustrated Sixer fans when Doug Collins was, in fact, in charge. The emotion, right, that he would be one of those guys that would be really emotional and cry and stuff like that, and people didn't like that either.
Hard on the sleeve, man.
Yeah, he was.
Absolutely.
And he still, to this day, does not accept it. I think it was a silver medal from when they played in the Olympics when they were robbed from the gold medal with the calls by the officials.
Yeah, that was...
To this day.
I am not one to get mad about referees' calls, but like that whole game, you're watching, you're like, So Doug Collins, absolutely right. You're like, yeah, I don't want any part of this. I'm not gonna co-sign on this package. There's no way.
Yeah, Sauce Castillo 38 on Twitter says, being a Crusader against Prop 48. This is talking about John Chaney. The other racist NCAA policies that went with a lot of things, always making time for others, including complete strangers, generous and honorable, always fighting for what was right, John Chaney. And that's the type of dude he was. He would take those Prop 48 student athletes, they sit out the year, get them out there on the floor that first year that they were eligible to play, and they would be ready to go. They would be ready to go. And he had some really good ones. I think Aaron McKee was one. I don't want to say names that
we're not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say one, but I'm not 100% sure. I have another one in mind, but I'm not 100% sure. But that being said, great coach, John Chaney. Very good coach, Doug Collins. Just not enough. Rashid on Twitter real quick, R. Philly 73, 5 Elite 8 appearances and a fight with John Calipari. Hashtag greatness never quit.
How many people do you think want to fight John Calipari?
He
got close.
He was first.
He's right there.
He's first. He's allowed to be first. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli with you until 10. And that's what we're doing. We're doing a name association with the Philadelphia Sports, some national, as we each have 10 names or more, and we pull them out of the hat. We don't pull our own name. One of us will pull for the other. Next up will be Joe Torti on the other side. When we get back, and we also introduce our side topic with a movie that was released on this date in 1992. And we have some fun stuff to talk about with that one as well. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli producing here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.